Do you like old-time music? Do you like history? Do you like thinking about folks that came before us in this neck of the woods, Pennsylvania and environs? Well, quite fortunately, we have some people who care about those subjects also and who are great musicians and have spent some time researching and documenting and perhaps most importantly, playing this music to make sure it's kept alive. There's a new CD called Behind the Door, Old Time Music of Southwestern Pennsylvania. We'll talk about that this hour, and we'll welcome Mark Tamsula and Richard Withers.
Yeah, we're going to start with a medley, two tunes from Pennsylvania fiddlers. The first tune's called Such a Gettin' Upstairs from Irvin Yager Jr., and the second tune is Patterson's Hornpipe from Thomas Patterson.
There you have Mark Tamsula and Richard Withers, and I just posted a picture of them to our Facebook page so you could get a look at them playing. And I also posted the website, which is snappingbug.com, which is a really neat website. You've documented some history and a little bit about Mr. Baird. And can you talk a little bit about him? And I did not have a chance to digest the site fully, but I was really, really very much engaged as I was looking through it.
Yeah, well, we're working on this project now that actually began about 80 years ago. That's when Sam Baird saw the importance of this collecting of Pennsylvania fiddle music, fiddle and fife music. He started in 1928. He was still an undergraduate. He hadn't even got his doctorate yet, but on his summer vacations, this was his hobby. He would visit fiddlers around the area where his grandfather lived down in California, PA, and he would go to collect tunes from these guys. They would play tunes for him in real time, and he could write it out in sheet music in notation while they were playing for him. Do I need to speak up? Okay. And what was going on, you know, the late 1920s, this was the beginning of the record industry, and they were just starting to mass produce 78 records. And I think Baird foresaw what was coming next, that what currently existed as live traditional music was going to be replaced or heavily influenced by this technology. You know, it used to be if you wanted to hear music, it had to be live. You had to find somebody in your neighborhood, or maybe people traveled through. But I would say most of the music that you would hear living, you know, 150 years ago was played by a live person.
That's really prescient to understand that that was about to happen. Because a lot of industry people did not understand that, or people who played music for a living did not necessarily see that. You know, radio stations all had orchestras or staff musicians on hand. So in seeing that, I guess he felt a real passion. We'd better collect these songs because fewer people are going to be making songs, I guess.
Or they were going to be influenced by music from other areas. You know, the music, and this is true across all of Appalachia. If you focus on music styles, everything is kind of isolated. You know, it can be traced back to very small communities of fiddlers who moved to an area of Kentucky or moved to an area of Georgia, and that style became kind of dominant within a few counties. Area, and things stayed that way. They didn't change much until the technology kind of broke down those barriers. And Baird saw that coming, and he wanted to preserve what was here in Pennsylvania before it was gone.
So to really capture these styles before they were impacted or influenced too, because if you're learning to play music from your family or from members of your own community, and then you start to hear recordings of music, that's going to sully the authenticity, I guess is the best way to put it. Yeah. Maybe without your even realizing it, it's going to change it.
Yeah, there's a tendency for them all to be blended together and, losing regional characteristics. I think he also recognized that even back when he started, that Pennsylvania was kind of an underrepresented area. When people think of Appalachia, they don't tend to think of this area. I think there was a real recognition that there's a whole musical tradition that even back then wasn't fully realized, this area wasn't identified with a lot of the rich tunes that he knew to be out there.
That was the voice of Richard Withers here with Mark Tamsula. I want to talk more about the CD and the collection effort, but why don't we get another tune from you? What would you like to play next?
This tune comes from, there's another medley. The first tune comes from he was a well-known fiddler in his day. His name was Harry Queer from Westmoreland County. They called him Tink. Tink Queer. He was recorded by someone back in the 30s. There's recordings of him in the Library of Congress. Baird visited him a lot. This tune was played, and according to Tink, a lot of fiddlers around this area called Waterford, that's out near Ligonier, a lot of fiddlers knew this tune. He said they put a fiddle on the table, and every fiddler would know to play this tune. But I don't think they had a special name for it. They just called it the Waterford Special. And then the second tune also wasn't really identified by name, but it came from a fiddler named Cy Hall. So we're just calling it Cy Hall's Reel.
That is Mark Tansel along with Richard Withers. Good morning to Mitchell Bell, who just passed along a note saying how much he's enjoying the music this morning. Thanks, Mitch. I want to ask you, Richard, about your banjo. It certainly is pretty special. It looks like it was made by somebody. Who made?
A fellow named Kevin Enoch, who's a wonderful banjo maker. Lives down in Virginia, this one is probably not as common as you would see with regular banjos. It's a fretless banjo.
Yeah, that really struck me, and I started to think, now, wait a minute, do a lot of claw-hammered banjos players use a fretless banjo? And I'm thinking, no, this is a very unusual banjo. Fretless. It's very different.
It's different, yeah. I mean, there are a lot of players. I think it's become more popular, but its original banjos historically would have been fretless if you went back far enough and from their African ancestry. It gives you a different sound. It's a little freer sound. It takes a little more practice to get the notes accurately, but otherwise it's fun to play, and you can get some sounds on it that you wouldn't get with a regular fretless banjo.
Is the action significantly different, such that you can do things that you might not be able to do on a fretted instrument?
Not so much the action, just the absence of the frets allows sliding and kind of getting some tones that you wouldn't otherwise get. This one also, as I have nylon strings on
it. I was going to ask you. Yeah, they... Thank you. Tell me about that.
Yeah, well, originally banjos would have had gut strings, and so this is close to a gut string sound. And it's a little mellower sound than the steel strings that are more typical. And I think you have a little more. You can get different tonal qualities there with the gut strings that you wouldn't get with the steel strings.
Yeah, it's just a richer, maybe, or mellower. Mellow is probably the right word. It's a great instrument. When did you start playing
the banjo? Back when I was in college in the... long time ago. It's been several decades now.
And was that your first instrument, or did you?
I actually started on the flute and played some other instruments there. At this point I play a wooden flute and play some traditional music on the wooden flute. Some of it's what we've incorporated on with the recordings that we've done, because they've been appropriate to the fife tradition that Byard collected in that area. Those are my two main instruments, is banjo and flute.
And I just wanted to turn also to Mark. You've got a fiddle here today, and I don't know if there's any special story behind the fiddle or where it came from.
These particular fiddles, these were made by an Ohio fiddle maker who's already passed on, but Clifford Hardesty. I started to, I liked his fiddles. I bought one in the 80s and eventually bought two more. So I have a set of them. They're made for fiddling. He didn't necessarily say he was making violins, but and you'll notice the pattern of the woods. He would work with whatever wood people would give him. So some of them had, like this one was made from a walnut dresser. Mm. So it's a very aged piece of wood, and it's lovely.
It's beautiful.
Walnut coloring all
now
over.
That one looks more like maple.
This is a maple, a pretty wild-looking grain pattern on the back. And he liked to work with, instead of spruce, most violin makers, fiddle makers used spruce for the top. He had wood that he cut from a telephone pole. It was cedar. And he said it wasn't too bad to work with once you could scrape down below the creosote.
Wow, that's amazing. But whatever we'll do, we'll do. I guess
I'm happy with them.
We'll definitely talk about the CD coming up. As you listen to the next songs, think about going over to snappandbug.com, because you can learn more about the whole. It'll give you some more context to the music that you're playing. What would you like to play next?
We have another medley.
This is the first tune we call Jim Harpst tune. Jim Harpst was an old fellow that we befriended back when we were learning this music a long time ago, lived all of his life in Pennsylvania, for most of that life was a wonderful old-time musician, and he was kind of a pioneer with some of these tunes. He knew some of the sources that Baird had visited, and this is a tune that we learned from him. He didn't have a name for it, so we just called it Jim Harp's tune. And the second tune is called The Soap Fat Man, and you may recognize the tune as something else. We'll let you hear that. Also, we threw in a couple of lyrics to it that may or may not have been originally paired with this song, but there's a silly poem called The Soap Fat Man by Laura Richards, who was the daughter of Julia Ward Howe, and so
She was the Girl Scouts.
She wrote the Battle Hymn of the Republic.
Oh, what am I thinking? No, I'm thinking of Lowe. Never mind.
That's okay. But anyway, this is her daughter, and she had, and they mysteriously seem to fit with this tune, so we suspect they might have been paired at some point.
That's Richard Withers along with Mark Tamsola. You're listening to the Saturday Light Brigade. Thank you for doing that today. And speaking of vocals, when you listen to this CD, the great Alan Goshen sings. Alan's got such a beautiful voice. And Dave Christie also plays guitar on some tunes. And Dave... it's great to have Dave.
We're really fortunate to have him joining us. Dave did many projects back in the day. I think back in the 80s, he had visited some of these guys, some of these Dunbar fiddlers, and videotaped them. And you can find that video on YouTube now. If you want the link, go to our website, snappandbug.com, and in the musicians page, you'll find the links to Dave's videos.
Yeah, Dave really did a lot of research and also published folk songs of Western Pennsylvania, which is a nice package of music. And speaking of which, up jumped Joe in the middle of it. Old Time Music of Southwestern Pennsylvania is the second in the series. And then the third is Behind the Door, Old Time Music of Southwestern Pennsylvania. It's just out, and the art on both of these are really fun. Tell me a little bit about the packaging. These days we don't think about as much about music packaging, but these are things you really would. It's nice to have as a CD because you can read about the works and also just kind of, it's the kind of thing that really you want on a bookshelf or a CD shelf.
Well, the artwork for all three of our CDs, the cover art was done by Kathy Borland. And she spent a large period of time working on the artwork for Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. I don't know exactly her time frame of that, but she accomplished a lot of great things in those days. And she took an interest in banjo. I was seeing her. She was interested in banjo lessons, and that's how we kind of came together on this.
Yeah, these are, I'm looking at this picture of Jim Harbst. What a neat looking guy. Did you get a chance to meet him?
Well,
he was a great friend of ours.
He came to the local jam sessions. We used to have people got together at the Poorhouse in Carnegie. What was the one in the Penn Cafe in Bloomfield? He was always there with either mandolin or he started playing fiddle at some point. I remember seeing him playing harmonica and spoons at the same time.
He was born in 1918, if you're wondering. And the album is really just wonderfully annotated. And there's this portrait-like picture of him and a little bit about his story on the CD. And the CD, there's information about how to get it at at the end, snapandbug.com. And you guys are going to be playing out a little bit in support of it. Do you have anything coming up where folks?
The next thing we're doing is scheduled at the Whiskey Rebellion Festival down in Washington, PA. That's July 9th. There's going to be a festival later in September up in Indiana, PA, the Northern Appalachian Folk Festival. We're going to be appearing up there with Ken Waldman. Ken's doing a concert set on a Thursday night that weekend.
What day is that again?
That'll be a Thursday, September the 8th.
Okay, Ken's great. You might remember him as the Alaskan fiddling poet. He comes. He's been here from time to time.
He'll be in Pittsburgh next weekend, Sunday, at the Carnegie Library in Oakland.
I'll be darned.
I'll be playing with him for that show.
Oh, that's great. We usually hear from him when he's in our neck of the woods, and he's a lot of fun. To listen to. Mark Tamsula and Richard Withers here with us. It's a great, I keep looking at the second CD instead of the third one, but you'll find a lot. There's 20 tracks all together. I think Ellen sings on a few of them. And it's just, it's a nice album. It's relaxing to listen to and kind of can take you back to a simpler time, but it's also a piece of history to be able to document it.
Thanks. At the time we really became focused on this project, those fiddlers were no longer around. They've all passed on, and Sam Bayard passed on in the early 90s maybe. But we're sampling. Bayard eventually visited over 100 fiddlers during the course of the 35 years that he did this, and collected over 1,000 tunes,
wow,
which he eventually published in books. And that's our source, is primarily off of the book, the printed page. So of all these fiddlers, we're sampling, picking out tunes that interest us and putting things together on our recordings.
Did he do anything, or maybe not him, but did anybody do anything like a Moses Ash might have in terms of actually recording some of these older fiddlers around those times?
He started using recording equipment maybe in the 40s, and I think even then it was still a difficult thing to drag that stuff around.
Are they around? Do you know the recordings?
They were on reel-to-reel tape in an archive at Penn State for a long time, and then a fellow named Carl Rakonen went up there and transferred them to digital copy. And now you could go to YouTube and listen to a lot of this source recorded stuff.
Okay, they're up there along with the Dave Christie videos you mentioned. So yeah, you could find a lot of this up at YouTube. That would be fun to listen to this and hear what he captured, especially if he interviewed the fiddlers too, talking, or the musicians, not just fiddlers, talking a little bit about their music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What would you guys like to do next?
We have a song called The Roving Sailor, and this is one of a few tunes. Baird would include some backstory about where the tune came from, and this one, this came from a fiddler from Fayette County named Levi Hall. And according to Levi Hall, there was an old lady lived in Fayette County, and she was up in years, so she wasn't able to look after herself very well. She's a little, they called her feeble-minded. That was an old term. There were people who took care of her. She stayed with them, and she used to escape once in a while and go walking down the road. And then she'd stop at some house just in time to get a meal. Everyone in the community knew who she was, so they never denied her hospitality or kind treatment or anything. They would just try to keep her around until her folks would come looking for her. And by the time she'd finish eating, she'd usually sing them a little song. But if they didn't give her a nickel or a dime after she sang the song, she'd pick up this big walking stick and hit him with it. So they called this one of her dime songs. This is The Roving Sailor.
Mark Tamsola, along with Richard Withers. When you play these, sometimes have you had occasions, or maybe when people have gotten the CD, of older people coming kind of out of the woodwork to talk about the songs, or that remember the songs from their families or neighbors?
Once in a while, we've had people. I can't think of anyone who was elderly, but sometimes people would say, oh, my mother or, you know, my grandmother used to play in that area. And there was some connections, but we'd love to hear from anybody who hears the tunes, or, you know, has anybody in their family or in their community who was part of this tradition of fiddle music in this area. We'd love to hear from them and see if there was anyone has connections with some of the people that Baird knew. And
yeah, and you would think there'd be quite a few because I think a lot of it, the Irish people from Ireland coming here probably had fiddle tunes, and there's other lineages too that it would have originated from. And as you were pointing out before, everybody thinks of West Virginia probably as the primary source for Appalachian music, and maybe it is, but there's a lot in Pennsylvania too.
Yeah, I don't know if many folks realize we're in Appalachia. This is a part of the whole region, you know.
Yeah. And am I right about Ireland? There are other, probably, I would imagine England and other countries, but how did this music come to be in Pennsylvania?
Most of it's traces back to probably before the big immigration of Irish in the mid 19th century, but more from the group that came over earlier, the Scots-Irish groups, a lot of them from Northern Ireland and Scotland, and a lot of English settlers as well. Some of the tunes are just right out of the Irish tradition, even though they've been played here for for generations.
Yeah, and you just don't think of it. I was going to say it's like it's always been here, and you don't think about where must it have come from. Now, what about, I mean, the banjo, I know some will trace its roots to Africa, and it's, I don't know if its lineage is as clear for the kind of music you're playing. Also Ireland, do you think, or Scotland?
Well, when in this area, there probably wasn't a big banjo presence. And just looking at, Baird's notes of musicians, he would talk about families where they and there would be a guitar or banjo or accordion or some other music. So I think it's a little more associated with music further down south in the Appalachians. But there were banjo players around. It eventually made its way to Ireland by way of the minstrel shows, apparently. And that's where the Irish really took to the banjo. So they actually came to it later than what we did here.
So the fiddle was sort of the vessel or the vehicle for the songs, and the banjo became an accompaniment instrument, it sounds like, at least for this particular slice of music that we're looking at here.
That's fair to say.
Yeah, I don't think about those things real often, and they're kind of fun to think about. Behind the door is the CD Selections from the Baird Collection. It's the third in a series. Ellen Goshen and Dave Christie also appear on it, with Richard Withers, whose voice you just heard, and Mark Tamsula. We should have time. We've got about 7 minutes or so of radio time left, so that might be a couple. It depends on the length. Oh, the flute is coming out, or a whistle, actually. Richard's just pulled out, a penny whistle? No, it's a flute. I see the holes.
It's a whistle.
Yeah.
The part of the tradition that Baird, we've talked about the fiddle music, but he was also very interested in the numerous fife bands that were throughout Western Pennsylvania. Lots of little towns would have their own fife and drum band, and some of those dating back to the Civil War, and that's a tradition that's pretty well gone. But he collected a lot of tunes from fifers, and there are separate traditions, the fife music and the fiddle, at least the fife players and the fiddle players, and they would either play for marches or dances of different functions, but the tunes got swapped and interchanged. And so we have a couple of tunes. I'm using a whistle, which is very similar to a fife and in tone and the way you play it. So we had a selection of tunes that more represent that part of the tradition. And the first one's a tune called, we're just calling it Sam Waggles. There wasn't a tune. Apparently Sam Waggle was a real colorful character who had been a Civil War veteran and lost his leg in the Civil War. And the fellow who collected this tune, a fellow named Province, who was knew Sam Waggle and used to hang out in his gunsmith shop, and he would talk with him about the tunes, and Sam would get excited, and then he would start, Baird has him quoted as saying, shouting, you know, where's my fife, where's my leg? And then once he got his leg strapped on, then he would go out marching and playing these tunes. So this first one, Sam Waggles, And the second one is from William Shape, and it's a cotillion. We call it Shape's Cotillion. The third tune is has a funny name. John Newgrant Came Home with a Pain in His Head, and that's a tune from Sarah Armstrong, fiddler from Derry, Pennsylvania.
Richard Withers and Mark Tabsola together. I can't believe how fast everything went. And you guys sound great together. And look for them at the Whiskey Rebellion. Activities happening in July in Washington. And then later on in Indiana coming up
September.
And thanks so much. The CD, again, you can get more information at snappinbug.com, Snappin' Bug Records. There's three in this series. The latest is Old Time Music of Southwestern Pennsylvania. Behind the Door is the name of it, with that subtitle. Thanks for being here.